Hi, this is Dave Slusher of the Evil Genius Chronicles. This is a quick note to let you know that the show you are about to hear is one that I was going to not publish. It was only when people who left comments on my weblog more or less begged to see it that I decided to actually present it. It was recorded in an airport terminal. It's very noisy. Please, please, please don't treat this as indicative of the quality of the series as a whole. This is an anomalous episode. If this is the first episode you ever heard, please, they're not all like this. So, now that we've established that, listen at will, but just bear in mind that this is an anomaly. Two quick bits of information I want to present that came in after I recorded this episode. One was a comment from a young lady who thinks that my music is so hypnotic that it prevents people from paying attention. At least makes it harder for her to pay attention. And she suggested having just a piano but not the bass. I can't really do that because it's a song and I don't have the masters to them. I would welcome input on that to dslusher@gmail.com. The only real aspect I have control over is pushing it lower in the mix, which I think I will try on this episode. And also to Mer Lafferty, who is doing the Geek Foo Action Grip weblog at essentialmath.com/geekfoo. And whose Christmas wish is to be plugged on this podcast. Here you go. That was your Christmas present. The fact that Mer Lafferty's Christmas wish is to be plugged on this podcast is perhaps the saddest Christmas story I've ever heard. It's like Gift of the Magi sad. It's like Little Matchstick Girl sad. But Mer, whatever floats your boat, you have your plug. Happy Festivus. And now, on with our substandard episode of the Evil Genius Chronicles.
Now you should listen to this, because this concerns you.
Headed for the door. And I wouldn't walk through anymore. And if I never ever woke again.
Hello, friends and neighbors. This is Dave Slusher. This is the Evil Genius Chronicles, evilgeniuschronicles.org for Monday, December 20th, 2004. As always, our music is provided via the generous permission of the Gentle Readers. They're at gentlereaders.com. Buy their albums. You've got 5 days till Christmas. Buy the damn thing. Jeez. And also, the show is sponsored by iPodder X. Feed your iPod by getting your copy of the number one podcasting Macintosh client today at iPodderX.com. I use it. You should. You know why? Because they're the kind of guys that would sponsor a show like this. You know what I'm saying? That's hard to argue with. They sponsor the show because they're the kind of guys that would sponsor a show just like this. iPodderX. iPodderX.com. Nothing more to it. Go there. Cutting in with a little bit of late-breaking news, there's now a coupon code that you can use when you register iPodderX. It's Evil Genius, all capital letters, all one word, E-V-I-L-G-E-N-I-U-S. If you use that, it'll let them track the fact that you're registering by coming from this podcast and let them realize they're not pissing their money away with the sponsorship. But more importantly, it'll save you a couple bucks. So Evil Genius is the coupon code. Keep this between us. Now, back to the episode. As you can probably tell by the ambient sounds and the kind of odd delivery that I got going on, that I'm doing another one of my airport terminal episodes. I hadn't really planned to do one. I was going from O'Hare to Myrtle Beach with a stop at Atlanta, and it was supposed to be the same plane going through. And I barely had enough time to make the plane, and then there was just not much time to eat and move forward. And then, I've never been on one of these planes where you have a connection, but it's the same plane, like your plane continues forward. And sure enough, the first time that ever happened to me, I left my coat and everything on the plane, got off, got something to eat, and the damn plane's broken, and they gotta change it out. So I have to go running back on the plane and get my crap and go to the new gate. So guess what? We got a little extra time, so I'm gonna do an episode. This is also, I'm going to try to avoid blowing into the mic like I have been doing. I'm using that USB mic on the gooseneck. It's kind of up in my face, but, you know, I spent like 5 minutes trying to arrange it into a spot where I couldn't blow into it. and that has proved fruitless. And I lost the little piece of foam that I had been putting on it, so I think I might actually find a bit of foam and just tape the damn thing on with super glue and leave it there forever. So I'm trying to talk not too terribly loud so as not to disturb the other people around me. Normally I try to go off somewhere secluded, but I just don't have it in me today, so I'm going to try to swear less than baseline, maybe approaching or reaching zero times during this show, and I'm kind of getting up on the mic and not talking so loud so as to bother all the other people around here. No louder than if I were on a cell phone, which of course would be, you know, screaming at the top of my lungs as if I were on one end of a tin can with a string, as almost everyone with a cell phone around me always does. The problem with that is getting up close on this mic means blowing into it and popping it, so I'll try to reduce the blows into the mic. I'm not so sure I can promise elimination, but we'll do what we can. Just consider the audio quality compromised. I'm also not stopping when the dude comes on the loudspeaker to give his robotic announcements. So hopefully this will not be total crap and will be audible and listenable at the end. Talk about a couple things. It's weird. This will be the first time in a long time, maybe as far back as September, since I've done 3 episodes in 3 days. And part of the rationale for that, as counterintuitive as it seems, is because in Chicago I was so busy that I ended up with extra time to do shows. The way that works is, as I've said before, it's a startup that I work for, and the office is actually an apartment, and I stay in the apartment. So we work, and we work like crazy, and then we have a little dinner, and I go back to the apartment. Well, it's 9 o'clock, and I'm in the office, and now I got time, and, you know, I call home, and I check in, and now I got a couple hours. So, hell, why not record a podcast and, you know, upload it from the broadband in the office, which is exactly what I did 2 nights in a row, and for similar reasons, I'm going to do one tonight, and all is well. While I was killing time and kicking back in the office, I got to watch a little bit of Spanish language TV. That's nice. I don't get any of that in Myrtle Beach. I also got to answer a little email. And in fact, on these flights, I actually answered a lot of email on the flight from Chicago to Atlanta. And I might even answer a little bit more. So I actually worked. I deferred a couple that just took too much time. But I worked, I think, back from present to the beginning of December. So if you've been waiting for an email from me, it might be getting close to getting one. And we'll see how that goes. I might make it into November, depending on how long I have to sit at this damn terminal. I do notice that when I send emails to people who are public figures, I tend to get fairly brief emails back. And so we'll see what we can do about keeping it a little briefer when I send them out. I haven't quite got the hang of doing that public persona email thing where you just answer with a sentence or two. I tend to like really long, chatty ones. So that generally doesn't work that great because they take too long, and that's why I get so far behind. All right, and so apparently I have pissed off my first set of people in this terminal. These really pissy people who just got up and gave me the stink eye and walked away. Well, fuck you. You turds. Of course, I'm being the coward that I am. I waited till they were far away to say that. But if somebody listens to this and you happen to be sitting in the terminal acting like turds, you are invited to kiss my ass, you fucks. Yuppie turds. So, in retrospect, I'm glad I pissed them off because they were assholes. So now there's not that many people around me that aren't on cell phones, and I'm going to talk a little louder and everything should be better. One thing I did want to discuss, and then it will segue with the one song that I'm going to play today, is a little bit of this Pod Squad notion. And I saw somebody, and you knew it was inevitable, and I saw somebody in an RSS reader, and let me look up who that was. Oh no, did I close it? That would suck if I did, since I can't reload it. Ah, okay, great. The website is Social Twister, and I don't know who this is, but he has a post about power laws and the Pod Squad. And so he was talking a little about that, and he raises some issues about the Pod Squad and the kind of barrier to entry and those sorts of things. And I guess, you know, I'm in the Pod Squad, unless I've been taken out. I haven't really checked on that in the last few days. So I guess I'm a person who's qualified to talk about this. And so I read through, and I don't know that I can argue with the technicality of most of this. I mean, there is a power law, and there is a Pod Squad, and the question, I guess, is whether it's exclusionary. And that's part of what he says there, is that it feels like it is exclusionary by nature. It's a small group, and it's kind of invitation-only. Not everyone can get in that. And he has... let's see what he says here. Now, I won't presume to judge any of the content in the Pod Squad, though I think it is good stuff on the whole. Present company accepted, of course. Unfortunately, the Pod Squad is not everyone, the podosphere, if you will, but instead this small group. To the hardworking, aspiring podcaster, however, the Pod Squad can also feel exclusionary just as much as it serves as a point of inspiration. Ask most podcasters if they'd like to be in the inside, and surely they would agree. Well, yeah, I guess that's true, but it would be the same thing with the blogosphere. If you ask most people, do you want to be an A-list blogger? Most people would say yes, and it's the nature of things like this that not everyone can be. Now, I think the issue is not, as I see the issue, it's not so much the existence of this group, because it's the nature of a subset that it is typically smaller than the whole set, right? That's the sub part. The notion is the criteria for membership and getting into it. And I'll tell you exactly how this affects me. And there's no exclusion per se by the fact that I think there's a list and people should be kept off it. You know, it's not like a nightclub, you know, with bouncers and an invitation list. What it is instead is when the early days of podcasting were happening, there was a time when I could listen to every single podcast that was coming down. And I did. I you know, got familiar with a lot of them, and I got to know some of the people. And then, boom, between, say, September and now, that went from maybe 20, 30 different people to like 1,200 or 1,400. Well, I can't listen to 1,400, but I could have listened to 20, and I did listen to 20. So now I've got this group of people who are my friends and who I'm familiar with, and there's 1,000 other people. And I just physically can't get familiar with all those people, but I'm already familiar with the people that were there first. And I think most of the people who, you know, are in my situation did a similar thing. So that the mechanism exists is not really in question, and that it's not fair is not really in question either, because not everyone can be in a specialized list. But is anyone doing anything wrong? No. I think that's just the way it falls out. It's only natural. And I actually have, so now, because of this, I actually have a little more insight into how some of these power law relationships occur. And it was the same thing with bloggers, I'm sure. There was a time when they could read everything, and a lot of the people we consider A-list bloggers were active then, pioneers in that particular medium, got used to reading each other, subscribed to each other, made a habit of, you know, have already selected for the people with points of view that they like and writing styles they like, and that's who they've kind of imprinted on. Well, the same thing with the podosphere. And so I've got these set of people. Over the last, month, I have referenced Mike Butler at the Rock and Roll Geek Show a number of times. And I've played his clips, and then he's played me talking about him. And so we kind of have this slow ping pong game. We listen to each other's shows, you know, on a day or two or three delay, and then we respond to them. And it's fun. And not everybody gets referred to by Butler. Not everybody gets referred to by me. But and that's just the way it works. I don't know what I can do about that. You know, I don't... That it's not fair and not democratic, that's true. In a better world, I would be referring to all 1,200 people that do this. But I guess the question comes, if that's not good enough, what do you want from me? What do you want from Mike Butler? What do you want from anyone? I don't know that there is any reasonable solution. The only one I can propose is do some good work and get it out there and crack the pod squad. Do good work. That's all you can ever do. And there's some question of the kind of incumbency that if you don't get in quick, then you won't get in at the top of this Ponzi scheme. Well, maybe so. But you know, there are A-list bloggers that started 6 months ago. It's just, it's not like it's an unscalable mountain. So I'm sensitive to this issue, but I'm not so sure that there's anything that needs to be done or even worried about. There is a special secret project that Drew Domkus is cheerleading and shepherding, and I don't know if it's still secret. It might not be by the time I upload this, but I'll be discreet for right now. I will tell you right now, you may have already heard it when you hear this, I was really skeptical. I came close to saying no. I sort of deferred on it, and then I said yes, but it was a iffy yes because it is Pod Squad related, and it feels exclusionary, and I'm not sure if it's a thing I should have done. So I definitely was tentative about it, and only the fact that Tony Khan got involved really made me feel better about it, because as we all know, Tony is my spiritual leader. And what Tony does, that goes a long way with me. And it should be noted, Tony had the same qualms as me, but he did it. And so maybe Tony was saying, well, if Dave did it, that would be a beautiful world if that's the way Tony feels. So anyway, well, we're talking about Pod Squad, and we're talking about Mike Butler. By God, in his last show, he played American Heartbreak's The Greatest Christmas Song Ever, and I asked him in a comment to put that up on his weblog for download, and he did. And now, my friends, listeners to the Evil Genius Chronicles, get the benefits of that. This is American Heartbreak with The Greatest Christmas Song Ever. Ever. Take it away. right, friends, neighbors, I love that song. That's American Heartbreak, greatest Christmas song ever. I got to go. I got to get on my plane. So my replacement plane. Really quick, I just want to thank Ken Rowan, who on the new podcast review renewed the Voices in Your Head series and gave it a 4.5 out of 5 stars. Thank you, Ken Rowan. That rocks. This has been the Evil Genius Chronicles for December 20th, 2004. Send your feedback to dslusher@gmail.com. The show notes will be at evilgeniuschronicles.org, and I will be on a plane. Thank you very much. Good night. Bye.